Hi, everyone. Welcome back for another solo episode of V the People. If you are continuing to listen and come back to consume, just want to start off by saying thank you. I love that you're here. And there's a lot to talk about today. And also, if you could see my cat, he is really just letting it all out, if that makes sense. Okay, so I'm actually going to add a couple of new segments today that I've been thinking about, but as per usual, I want to start with some of the things I've been watching. First and foremost, if you are a fan of Lena Dunham, or if you watched Girls back in the day, I think she was also on an episode of American Horror Story. She is kind of re-entering the cultural stratosphere with her book tour. She's been on a lot of podcasts. She's done some talk shows. And I'm just really here for it, kind of just like taking all that content in. Specifically, I loved her on Monica Lewinsky's podcast. If you haven't listened to Monica Lewinsky's podcast, it's called Reclaiming with Monica Lewinsky. And she has on a ton of different people, but she talks a lot about identity and obviously reclaiming that for yourself and having that power. And I've just always really been here for Monica Lewinsky. I never really understood why we were demonizing her and cyberbullying her before we even had language for what cyberbullying was. Meanwhile, Bill Clinton was just, you know, launching the Clinton Foundation and staying very much politically influential. So, you know, I just said a mouthful there. But if you haven't listened to Monica Lewinsky's podcast, I would definitely listen to her one with Lena Dunham because it was funny. It was very smart and they had great chemistry. Maybe that's just me though, because I've always been a Monica fan. Okay. The other thing that I watched was, if you've kept up with any of the Untold series on Netflix, it's kind of the ones that are always the bizarre stories. I'm pretty sure it was like the Poop Cruise one was one of the Untold, but they're like a lengthier documentary between 1 and 2 hours, and they tend to focus on something that's really bizarre, really niche. And the most recent one that they just released is called The Shooting at, I think it's Hawthorne Hill, I want to say. I'm trying to find it in my notes here. Okay, yeah. Untold, The Shooting at Hawthorne Hill. And I don't want to give too much away. I'm going to try not to spoil it because it's definitely one that I would recommend taking the time to watch because, yes, it's giving true crime, but there's also so many other factors that really just make you stop and think. I didn't follow this trial or case for whatever reason. I think it was unfolding in 2022. So there's probably like a new COVID variant out there and it just wasn't coming across my desk. But one of the things it focuses on is like what happens when someone pleads not guilty due to insanity, which you don't really hear a lot about anymore, but like what actually unfolds and happens when someone pleads that way, and how, this is what was really stumping me, how can you prove someone's mental state during the time of a crime that already happened, like retroactively? How can you actually scientifically do that and prove that in a way that a jury's like, yeah, they weren't in the right frame of mind? And also, who is in the right frame of mind whilst trying to kill someone? Like, how do you say, oh, you were thinking clearly and you still chose to do this? I don't know. It's just wild. It's a wild ride. And I learned a lot about the system and the way that works. And I'm such a man hater. So it was like kind of confusing because there were times that I felt bad for this dude. But then there were times that I was like, men literally get away with murder. No one got murdered in this, just to be clear, but it was attempted. And it's just one, I just feel like there's so much content out there. And this was one that actually grabbed me and I wasn't looking at my phone every 5 seconds. Okay. If you have been living under a rock and not keeping up with the Summer House drams of it all, there was an audio leak, which I'm sure everyone's aware of. Also, I'm not really sure if you can hear it, but there's an actual ice cream truck going down my street right now. And I'm so curious to know if they have soft serve. Okay. So there was an audio leak of the Summer House reunion. Allegedly, there's more out there. However, Bravo's legal team is on it and kind of like low-key threatened that anyone who has it should not be releasing it. Andy did go on his radio show and talked about how it was a Bravo fan who helped to crack the case and figure out who it was that leaked the audio and where they were. A lot of people are speculating that that person was the one and only Jennifer Lawrence, but I believe that is yet to be verified. If you didn't listen to the actual leaked audio, I think it's getting harder to find being circulated. The account that originally posted it, that was sent to me, was taken down. However, I'm sure there's screen recordings out there and I'm sure it's all over TikTok and Reddit. But it's crazy. Amanda's basically doubling down on her decisions from what we've heard. Doesn't really sound like she's taking much accountability. Although, again, I think we only heard like a 2-minute snippet. So probably I'm assuming there could be an apology. Although at this point, I don't want to give her the benefit of the doubt because the way she's speaking to Sierra in the leaked audio is diabolical. So we're here for Sierra. We're here for her being on Dancing with the Stars. We're here for her having her freaking moment that she deserves. And I will be spam texting my friends and family to vote for Sierra on Dancing with the Stars this fall. I really can't think of anyone else that I'll be wanting to vote for. However, it's only April. And when that press tour picks up, you better believe I'm going to be watching it. So I think that's what I'm watching. Okay, I watched the documentary on Netflix. I've been keeping up with Summer House. And I've been also here for the Lena Dunham book tour re-entering the cultural stratosphere. So not a whole lot. I mean, being a Bravo fan is really like having another full-time job. And there's just so many other things that I watch on top of the Watch What Happens Live, trying to keep up with the Beverly Hills reunion, trying to keep up with the Rhode Island drama, Southern Hospitality, the list goes on. So there's a lot, but those are my kind of like top two or three, I would say. Coming off the heels of Lesbian Visibility Week, I wanted to start like a new little segment where I talk about lesbian culture and just give you a little bit of insight. And sometimes it could be fun, like, you know, we could talk about someone who's like a celebrity really big in the world of lesbians, or it could be something maybe a little more deep, something you haven't thought about. But I wanted to kick it off with roles and assumptions. I can't tell you how many times my wife and I have been married 6 years together, like 8 or 9, depending on who you ask. When we go out, it is a very common thing for people to try and figure out what our roles are to each other, which I can understand the curiosity. I mean, maybe we're sitting at a bar together, we're speaking as if, you know, we're married, we're communicating, we're obviously close, we're really not like PDA people at all. Also, just because there's plenty of times that we're very aware of our surroundings and unsure of how it would be received or if it's a safe space, Also, like, there's this whole thing of people like sexualizing two women together in a way that they wouldn't if it were, you know, just a man and a woman. So the list goes on and on. That said, you know, I'm chatty. I like to yap. I like to get in conversations with people. And then, you know, someone will say like, oh, are you sisters? Are you roommates? They're always trying to figure out who we are to one another. And I do get it. There's a part of me that gets it. But also, it is not going to ruin your day if you don't know. And if you don't ask, and if you really wanted to, I'm sure you could, you know, when one of us pays the bill, look me up on Instagram and then you'll be like, oh, that's what I thought, right? If you're like that desperate to know. On the other hand, it actually very well could ruin our day. If you're like, oh, and you assume something really crazy about who we are to each other. And I don't mean in like a dramatic way, but just it's one of those little things that when it happens over and over and over again, it can really build up. So my message, or the other thing is always like, you know, who wears the pants or like who's the man, or just this idea that like hetero gender roles would sneak into any relationship. I don't know, just feels kind of reductive and lazy. And so I don't want this segment to be like, don't do this and don't do that. Because again, maybe next week we'll talk about like who are the women in art that really made a lot of people come out. For example, Miss Honey from Matilda. Look it up. It's a real thing. Or like the Kelly Clarkson wink. Big moment for the lesbians. Okay, so like there will just be some very light cultural topics, but every now and then maybe just something for you to think about. Relationships don't need roles to function, and I can guarantee you in hetero relationships there's a lot of fluidity and there's a lot of roles and lines that get blurred, as they freaking should, because it is 2026. Okay. Another little segment I wanted to add just for funsies is something happening in the political world. I feel like the Venn diagram between people who love Bravo and who are also very politically active is like there's a big crossover, because pop culture, politics, I personally think they go hand in hand. And if you follow any campaign tour, a lot of people would agree. What I really wanted to talk about that happened this past week is the Donald Trump and Nora O'Donnell 60 Minutes interview. So following the White House correspondence dinner shooting attempt, Nora O'Donnell sits down with President Trump and asks him some clarifying questions, to which he calls her a disgrace and dismisses her. So if you didn't watch the interview, you're not really missing much. It's giving same energy from our commander in chief, unfortunately. However, what she was doing was being a journalist and asking for accountability, having a very perfectly appropriate line of questioning. And what he was actually doing was discrediting her and deflecting, which, you know, it doesn't surprise anyone at this point. But what I wanted to do was take a moment and just rattle off some of Nora O'Donnell's accomplishments. First of all, she was the third woman to ever anchor CBS Evening News. I'm going to say that again. The third woman to ever anchor CBS Evening News. She earned an award for a year and a half long investigation into sexual assault in the U.S. military. The award is like really long, and the name of it, I mean. And I feel like I would completely botch it if I tried to read it, but look it up. And I also don't know the story of the sexual assault in the U.S. military, but I'm gonna find out. I'm gonna watch it. She's won multiple Emmy Awards, for one of which for that case of the military sexual assault. She's interviewed Pope Francis, Barack Obama, plenty of other people. She wrote a book called We the Women, which we love the title, and it spotlights overlooked women in American history. She was named Broadcaster of the Year by the New York State Broadcasters Association in 2014, and now she's a senior correspondent for CBS News, focusing on major interviews and reporting. So that's just a little bit about our girl, Nora, who Trump referred to as a disgrace. And also just like a couple of quick accolades and accomplishments for Donald Trump. He was found guilty on 34 counts of falsifying business records in an attempt to pay Stormy Daniels, as we all know, as the hush money case. So, you know, take what you want from those two columns of accomplishments and run with it. Okay. Okay. All right. And lastly, the segment that I like to end with is something we don't talk about enough. And I don't know if anyone's done this yet, but I saw someone on TikTok say you should look up your exact height and body weight on TikTok to see what it looks like from like an outside perspective when it's not you. I did it the other night and it was so cool. I feel like I was looking at these girls who allegedly, you know, obviously all of our bodies are different. We hold weight in different areas. We carry ourselves differently. However, overall, like, that's your height, that's your weight. How different could it really be? And I'm looking at these girls thinking how great they look. And yet when I look at myself, you know, I'm doing the classic, like, I wish this was different. I wish this was different. I don't like this. And I don't know. It just kind of showed me just how distorted we are when it comes to looking at ourselves versus other people. I mean, I know I'm not out here like seeing other girls and just constantly judging their bodies. If anything, I'm like comparing myself negatively to them. So going down that rabbit hole was actually a really healthy thing for me. Now, if that's something that you think would trigger you, obviously don't do it. But for me personally, it was kind of empowering. And I've noticed too that since I did it, my algorithm has showed me more people who look like me. And so I just think something we don't talk about enough is like how hard we are on ourselves, and being able to admit that the way we see ourselves tends to be a lot like we're just harder on ourselves. So something to think about. And yeah, that's something we don't talk about enough. This was kind of a longer solo episode. I really appreciate you taking the time to be with me today. And I have someone really exciting lined up for next week. So I'm super jazzed about that. And yeah, thanks everyone for listening. I hope you have a great Wednesday. Bye.